Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellmead, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love. Welcome
to the morning edition of the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry. I am your host, Afrida Love, and this is the ministry where Jesus shines with love. On today, the schedule requires that we visit with Ms. Crystal Jordan, but she hasn't made it yet. And in the case that we have to reschedule, amen, the Lord has given me something else to share with you, and that will be the ministry for today. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So without further ado, I would like to pray and then read a scripture, and then we will see what the end is going to be. Is that right? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to wake up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way, Lord. We thank you for each guest who have come on the show and those who will come on the ministry, Heavenly Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus, would you bless this particular ministry, Heavenly Father, to be something that is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each listener. We thank you for those who are going to listen, Lord, and we thank you for the upkeep of the ministry. We thank you for the power that it has on the people because of your word and because of your anointing and because of your ministry. Lord Jesus, we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, would you take us out of self, Heavenly Father, and creating us a clean heart and an open mind, where we will begin to distribute the information that you have given us unto the people. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Heavenly Father, would you bless each person and keep each person safe as the day progresses. Lord Jesus, the concerns that you have given unto the people and the storms that people are going through, the storms that we're going through, the storms that are of life, Heavenly Father, we're asking you, Heavenly Father, would you do like you did in that deep blue sea and tell peace to be still? Lord God, we're asking in the name of Jesus, would you just continue to hold on to us, Heavenly Father, and keep us grounded, keep us safe, keep us on the straight and narrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Hey, amen, amen. And I'm going to read Psalm 104, 1 through 5, and it reads, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. I have read unto you Psalm 104, 1 through 5. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and the seekers of his holy word. And I would like to welcome, first of all, I'd like to say thank God, and I would like to welcome some of the new listeners on the ministry. And while we wait for Ms. Crystal Jordan, or while we proceed on with what God has given, I would like to tell you a little bit about your host, which is yours truly, because I want you to understand and recognize that we're all in this together. The ministry of God goes forth because of the word of God, not because of the host, not because of the people who is sharing this particular ministry, but it goes forth because of the word of God. And so as I turn off all of the distractors, amen, all three phones here, and get into the presence and the word of God, I am going to tell you a little bit about the host and how God has really impacted my life. I think this is a good point while we are online. So first of all, as you all know, my name is Alfreda Love. I started out having a relationship with God at a very young age because that was an expectation in the house, and that was also one of my expectations. I remember as a young child, we would go over to a lady's house every Saturday, and we would hear the word of God on Saturdays, and of course, Sundays is church day, so that's where we would go. And as I grew older, I really began to experience God for myself through dreams. I can tell you, I want to share this particular dream, and then I'm going to get on with my youth and my adult life here. The dreams that I had as a third grader probably was the most memorable dream that I've had, which was I saw a vision of heaven, and it was a beautiful place. And what I saw is just phenomenal. I saw white horses. I saw the streets that were paved. And I saw Jesus Christ sitting around an ark, like it was like an ark. And I saw a lot of people sitting beside Jesus Christ. And in the middle of it was water. Now, I can't remember the message within that dream, but I do remember that heaven was a beautiful place. And to prove it, I wrote about heaven for my third grade teacher, Miss Smith, Rebecca Smith. I wrote about it. They'll have that particular story. And so as life progressed, at the age of six, I was baptized with one of my good friends at church. And then I began to serve in the church, where I've been a member for 35 years. And the experience that I have felt with the Lord is phenomenal. The Lord has been just excellent to me. I'm speaking personally and to the people around me, my family and everyone. Even going off to college, the Lord has, or the Lord during that time really dealt with me, even going off into college, because, you know, before I would take a test, I'd pray unto God, and I'd pass, you know. And it's not because of the genius, or it's not because of just knowing. It's because the Lord had his hand in it. And I want to encourage you, even if you're in college or wherever you are, whatever you allow the Lord to have his hand in, it's going to succeed regardless of what it is, regardless of what you do. But you have to step out from the me, and you have to include God in it. And so, to sum all that up, I want to say, as your host for all the new people, that I love the Lord with all of my heart. Everything that I do, all the accomplishments that God has blessed me with, the ministry, the anointing, the teaching, the traveling, the Lord has afforded me the opportunity to do so, because without him, I couldn't do it. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is, put God in the center of everything you do, because I'm a living witness that God is able to carry you through. And it's not by chance that God has given me a ministry or a platform on Blog Talk Radio. And I know a lot of people say, okay, that's Blog Talk Radio. But this ministry has really encouraged and helped me. It helped me grow. I see differences in my life. I see differences that used to bother me. It doesn't bother me anymore. And so knowing who God is and keeping God first, number one, in your life, pays off. It's excellent, because God is able to carry you places and take you places that you've never been. He's able to allow you to see things. One thing I do want to say about walking in the Spirit of God is that Jesus indicated, and I told someone this, and I was teaching on the blog with some other ministers and professors and other people, regular people like me, and one thing that I brought out that Jesus showed was a lot of ministers become discouraged because they look at these mega churches and they look at all the people in these mega churches. But as I began to write, and as the revelation of God came unto me, the Lord says, where two or three are gathered, he said, there I am. And when you think about it, the Lord said, I only had 12 disciples. And I told somebody this yesterday. I had 12 disciples. and I'm speaking in the language of God, 12 disciples and one disciple betrayed me. This was a disciple that was close to me. I had 12 disciples that I've been walking with, that I've been teaching, and one betrayed me. And the Lord said, the whole purpose of getting into heaven is not how many people follow you, it's how many people you're able to save through the word of God. And so with those 12 disciples, Jesus was able to travel from place to place, from city to city, and to make a profound impact. And what the Lord displayed and showed was that you can have a million followers, and none of them can make it to heaven. Because first of all, we're worried about how many people are following. But the whole purpose is God in it. That's the whole purpose. And if God is in it, it doesn't matter if you have one person or if you have a million people. The Lord is going to bless it, and he's going to multiply it. And it's not one thing that I want to tell you, pastors and ministers and people who are starting the ministry that the Lord has given me, is it's not the numbers. Because the gospel, amen, is not numerical. God says your blessing is not numerical because it's infinity. That means that you can't put a number on it. If you save one soul, amen, we're rejoicing. But what God showed me was that when you are ministering to people, right, even if it's a million people, you're still not going to be able to save those million people because everyone who is with you is not it is maybe not within your vision or with your vision. So just because you have one person, it doesn't mean that that's not a ministry. Or just because you have a million doesn't mean that that's not a ministry. What God is saying is when you have a ministry, what you count is your blessings. Amen. He said, and what you count are the people, the souls that you are saving. Because if you go into a, and I'm speaking to myself as well, if you go into a million, mega church, huge church, and we take inventory, and it's not being judgmental, inventory of how many souls have been saved and how many souls are, how many of those souls saved are going outside of the church saving souls, then the number would probably be less than 50%. And we're not talking about numerical as in trying to figure out the percentages of how many people are actually saved. We're talking about the spiritual overtone of what God is saying. We have to be 100% whole. And in the church, with a million people, how many of them are whole? How many of them can say that I'm whole? And I don't think any of us can because we're still growing in the faith of God. So whether, and this comes up a lot, whether you have one person, whether you have 20 people, whether you have 50 people, 100 people, a million people, the Lord says he is able to do anything with your particular ministry. It does not matter. And so one thing that I want you to remember is Jesus only had 12 disciples, and one of them betrayed him, right? And so I don't want you to become discouraged. I don't want you to think, well, you know, my ministry is small. That's fine. God can take a small thing and turn it into something big. But you have to keep the faith, and you can't focus on the numbers. What you need to focus on, what we need to focus on, is saving souls. Because we go to the place of God every Sunday, and we see the same people. If you are ministering to the same people, that's good, because that means that it's consistent. And that means that people are coming back because they want to grow and do better and perfect their walk. If you don't see people coming in from your ministry, that means that you're only concerned about the sheep that you have who's following you. What about the sheep who's not following? How do you get them on board? And that's what God is asking. You get them on board through the word of God and through reaching out. Okay? Let's go to the next topic that the Lord has placed on my heart. The next topic has to do with spiritual conviction. And I spoke about this yesterday online about spiritual conviction. And what the Lord gave me about spiritual conviction, and I'm going to say it again because I mentioned it a little bit yesterday, but not much. When we deal with spiritual conviction, we are holding ourselves accountable to the word of God. What the Lord showed me with spiritual conviction is many times what we do is we go to church every Sunday and we turn in our Bibles to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Numbers, Leviticus, whichever verse the pastor or minister gives us. And they convey a story to us that happened in the Bible, and then they make it real to our lives, which is good, because it should be real to our lives and how we can apply it. But the one thing that God says that we have to do that makes this ministry so unique and that the revelation of God is given is that we have to have a spiritual conviction. Do you not realize that people continue, even kids, continue to do the same behaviors if they can get away with it? You know, when we talk about a consequence, let's talk about a dog, okay? Let's talk about a dog. When a dog is trying to learn how to be obedient and sit and stand up and come and fetch a ball, you reward that particular dog every time that dog does something correct. When the dog does not do something correct, then what happens is you look at that dog and you tell that dog something, you know, like, I told you to sit and you didn't, so you don't get a treat. And so, in other words, you didn't give the dog the treat because the dog didn't do what you said do. And so, after which, what happens is the dog becomes sad because the dog knows, okay, I didn't do something right. But also, the next time the dog does something right just so it can get a treat, right? But then when you're not looking, when your spouse or your friend comes out to do the same thing, then the dog goes back to its old ways. So what God is saying with the people, let's bring it to the human nature here. With the people of God is what happens is we go into the church every Sunday, every other Sunday or once a month or whenever you go, and we receive the word of God, and it's good stuff. And for the next couple of days, we remember what the pastor said. Do unto others as, you know, they would have do unto you. Treat people right. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But then for some reason, something happens and we go back to our old ways. The Lord is saying with this particular ministry and with this particular book that I'm getting ready to write and workshops that I'm getting ready to present, according to the revelation of God, is that we need a spiritual conviction. And with this spiritual conviction, it's not a conviction in which the Lord blames. It's not a conviction in which the Lord accuses or punishes. What happens is the Lord begins to work on the heart. And if you want an example of this in the biblical terms, look at Paul on the Damascus Road. And I'm going to, for our new people and for our children who have just joined, what happened to Paul was he was persecuting the church, and he was on his way to Damascus. He was just persecuting the church, talking about, you know, the people of God. And so at one point, God came to him and he said, why are you persecuting the church? He didn't say you shouldn't do it. He didn't say you did it. He said, why are you doing it? He caught him in the act. He said, why are you doing this? And so that's the type of experience God wants to give us. He wants to give us an experience in which we stop and think about, why are we doing this? Why do we continue to tell stories? Why do we continue to be mean to people? Why do we continue to talk back to people? Why do we continue to partake in strong drink? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? And it's a thinking process, because once you think about it and we weigh the pros and cons of each, what happens is we become aware, if you will, aware of why we do things. And like I said last night, the most important thing is knowing yourself. Then Jesus said, after we become aware, we begin to understand our conscious mind. Okay, I'm taking you into how this revelation works too. Okay, and I'm going to go slow because I want you to understand how revelation works, how God is able to give people revelations. What happens is, once you become aware of who you are, Bethany, Mary, Teddy, Sam, once you become aware of who you are, then you begin to come into this conscious state of understanding why you do things. We understand why we do things. After we come into the why we do things, we understand the boundaries and the limitations around why we do things. Why do we get angry? You know, why are we involved in relationships? We begin to understand that, and we begin to understand the boundaries around it. Okay, think about a basketball court. The ball goes out, it's the other team's ball. So you begin to understand the boundaries around this particular awareness. Once that happens, once you understand the boundaries and you get it in your mind, you're not convicted yet through the Spirit. Once you get that in your mind, okay, then your mind goes through this process of, what am I going to do? Am I going to do the right thing or the wrong thing? I know my boundaries. I'm aware of who I am. I know what I'm supposed to do. Right? That's why David said, you know, the only thing I seem to do is keep on messing up. And it's because he understands and he's aware of his wrongdoings. And so what happens is after that, follow me, because we're going deep, y'all. We hope you have your life jackets because God has given me this. And somebody, some people will follow me. And so what happens is after you get this awareness, then, as I said before, your mind goes through this phase of, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyways. And whatever consequence received, I know that God is going to get me out, and I know that I can go back to doing it, and I know God's going to forgive me again. So that's what happens. And so after so long, right, and after people begin to pray, then the Lord steps in because he allows us. The Lord gives us a lot of freedom, right? And so after that particular thing happens, then Jesus begins to work on us. And he said, you know that this is wrong. He said, and you know that this is right. You're able to discern because you're aware. And I know you're aware, and you know you're aware. And the Lord begins to deal with the heart. And whether you want the Lord to come in or not, the Lord forces his way inside your heart. Because at one point, right, you understood the expectations of the Lord. So the Lord begins to come into your heart. When the Lord begins to come into your heart, some things begin to happen. You have this transformation experience like Paul, and you stop and think, wait a minute, what did I do? Who was in control of me? It wasn't God, because I feel good when God is inside of my heart. It wasn't God, because I wouldn't have did that. It wasn't God, because I wouldn't have told those stories and lies, and I wouldn't have hurt all those people. So this has to be God, and it feels good. And then God will allow you to experience a little bit of favor, you know what I'm saying, those wants, and a little bit of mercy. God will allow you to begin to experience that. And that's how you transform and have a spiritual conviction. Your conscience begins to wear on you. And so once the Lord takes you into that land or that place in which you are able to experience his favor and grace, right, then he said, okay, we still have to deal with this issue right here. Before you allow me in your heart, we have to deal with this issue that happened, and there are consequences. These are not consequences that will destroy you, but these are consequences to help you become better and stronger and make you a better. Do you notice how God was not angry when he had to, in that particular scenario? Do you know how calm God was when he came into that man's heart, that woman's heart? Do you know how calm he was when the Lord asked, why are you doing this? When he asked Paul that, do you know how calm God was when he said, you know right from wrong now because you're aware. You know your boundaries. And because you've been able to get away with this so long, you've done it. He counseled. The spiritual conviction is a counseling. And many times when we deal with, and the Lord has given me this, when we deal with people who are going through mental issues, mental problems, anger issues, anger problems, we never allow the process of self-conviction to come on because, as I said last night, we as humans look on the outside, you know. People have been thrown out of churches because we don't know the process of a self-conviction, how to get to self-conviction. So what this ministry is going to do within the next few months, maybe on Mondays, is to begin to teach people, anybody can learn this, teach people how to experience self-conviction. And I'm going to tell you like this, a lot of people are afraid of the word conviction because in the world it means that you're guilty of something. But in the spiritual tone, when we mention a spiritual conviction, it means when the truths come out and you become aware of who you are, you become aware of your purpose, your eyes begin to open and your mouth begin to open and confess that Jesus is Lord. And so we all need to have a spiritual conviction. Okay? Y'all need to experience that. And so with that, this will be on Mondays, because it is a process. It is a procedure. Okay? So when we talk about the spiritual, and you notice I keep interchanging spiritual and self. Okay? Let me explain that. The spiritual aspect of the Word of God is when the Lord comes in and he takes us on an experience. You know, with Paul, he took him to Damascus. And he may take you somewhere else. He may take us somewhere else. But he gives us that experience where he can work with us one-on-one. And that's also getting into the presence of God. But then with the self-conviction, that's when, you know, that saying your conscience is your guide, that's when God begins to work on your conscience. Because before God can get to us, to our hearts, he has to get to our conscience. Because what has happened is the devil has locked our conscience up, some of us, our conscience up. And that's why we can do anything, say anything, treat people any way, and we feel like we're getting away with it because the devil has locked up our conscience, and it is actually numb. And so when we do bad or when we do wrong, we feel as though we're getting away with it, but God is getting ready to intervene. So with this particular ministry, and believe it or not, it took me a year to figure out what God really wanted as a solid base for this ministry. And the Lord spoke to me on yesterday and said the whole base of the Love of Jesus Up ministry is self-conviction. Get people and teach people how to experience the self-conviction that he is bringing. Because a lot of us, right, when the Lord comes unto us, we don't know what to do. And when I say when the Lord comes unto us, that's through experiences, things that we go through, okay, storms that we go through, how we handle and treat people. Self-conviction and spiritual conviction is very important, and that's the whole purpose of this ministry. You know, this ministry is to give the word of God. This ministry is not to judge, because none of us can judge, because none of us is perfect. But I really want you, when you think about the Love of Jesus of ministry, you will think about spiritual conviction. And that's when God comes into our lives. And that's when he is able to turn us around and put us on that road to Damascus. Okay? Some people are saying, you know, I'm already on the right road. That's great, but we still have some things that we're holding on to that the Lord is going to have to spiritually convict us of so that we can become aware. This ministry is about awareness. This ministry is about knowing who you are and your purpose through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's it. That's what it's about. So a big topic with the Love of Jesus Up ministry that the Lord gave me concerns spiritual conviction. We have to be accountable for the things that we do. And just because you get away, just because we get away with things does not mean that God will not convict us spiritually. And if we look at it, and the Lord is showing that a conviction is more than a worldly conviction, because a worldly conviction has numbers. And God said the spiritual conviction could be for the rest of our lives. The spiritual conviction affects us on the inside, and what's on the inside comes out. And that's how we know we're being spiritually convicted, because we begin to change and do things like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know that I could do that. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about me. It's because we're being convicted. You know, when I get up to speak, I used to be very shy. Believe it or not, I used to be very shy. And a long time ago, the Lord showed me that I was going to, and he showed actually a prophet, because my grandmother told me, and this was before I was born, that I was going to give the word of God. And I thought to myself as a child, you're right. You know, I don't even like to talk. But the Lord gave me a spiritual conviction at an early age, and I'm going to say probably at the age of 6 or 7, through dreams, through visions. And I would study the Word of God. I would read the Bible before I would even read a book. I read the Bible. And the spiritual conviction that God gave me was that your mouth is a mouthpiece for the Word of God. And I didn't believe that until people gave me the opportunity to get up and speak. And I knew that it was the Lord because the fears were taken away. I felt comfortable. And I knew that it was the Lord who was allowing me to do that. Because if I did it in my own strength, if I did it in the I Free to Love, person, then I couldn't do it. But I knew that through the help of God, I could do it. And that's what God is trying to take us to, a spiritual conviction. We wonder why people are not in church. And God is showing this. We wonder why people aren't in church. It's because of the spiritual conviction. They're not convicted. They're not convicted because they don't have the word of God. So they feel like the ways of the world is correct because we haven't told them anything different. It's good to say on Sunday mornings, it's good to say, you know, turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings, turn in your Bibles to Psalms, turn in your Bibles to Matthew. That's great. It's good to give real-life experiences. We need that. But with this ministry, the Lord says, we will teach people about spiritual convictions. We will teach people how to break the chains that we're talking about, that we continuously speak about. I just spoke about that last week at a church, about breaking the chains. How can people break the chains? Because people are bound. How can people come into the spiritual aspect of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? How are people able to do that? And so when we do that, when we do that particular spiritual overtone, we're able to come closer unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So therefore, we must come into the presence of God. Okay? And so God says that, you know, we preach unto people every Sunday. You know, I'll get on the air and I speak to people about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I give a revelation. That's great. But we need to start teaching people about spiritual conviction because it's coming. It's going to happen. We've been praying about it. The prophets have been praying about it. The pastors, the ministers have prayed about why is it that so many people decide to stay at home on Sundays. A lot of people will tell you, I don't come, and I'm just being real. A lot of people say, I don't come to church because of this, because of hypocrisy, because of unrighteousness, because of things that's happening. But God says we have to stand before him ourselves, and we have to continue to go, and we have to continue to be cleansed, and we have to continue to oversee our spiritual convictions so that we can become aware of who we really are and our purpose. A lot of people are on earth just living, and you have no idea what God wants you to do for him. You understand about your career, such as if you're teaching or if you're leading or things like that, but we're talking about what has God convicted you to do. Everyone has a conviction who's on earth. Everyone. Every single person. There is a conviction on your life. There's a conviction on my life. And we have to lead people to those convictions so that they can begin to experience the favor and the mercy and grace of God. You know, stories, as I said before, in the Bible, they are needed. You know, making it real to the listeners, that's needed. But the most thing that's going to get people in the churches is if they're convicted. Think about it. When people are convicted in the world, when people are warranted by God, or warranted in the world, when there's a warrant out, then people are either picked up or they come in. But Jesus says that there is no warrant for the people of God because the people of God already know that they're supposed to come unto Christ. What's happening is we still have people out there. Thank you, Jesus. Let me make this simple because this is deep here. We still have people who are out there who know that they're wanted by God who refuse to come unto God. And that's the key to winning souls is spiritual conviction. And that's what the Love Lift Jesus ministry is about. We're about saving souls through a spiritual conviction. And notice that we did not say a spiritual conviction is something where we judge people because we can't be judged either because we're not perfect. But the spiritual conviction is very important. And I'm going to say this one more time because I'm being obedient unto God. And my guest hasn't shown up, and we're going to have to reschedule. People understand, and people know that they are wanted by God. God said there is, he doesn't have to put out a warrant for anything for a Christian. Because, or for anyone in the world, even people of the world, every person the Lord revealed on earth knows that God wants them. Every person knows that they're wanted by God. Every single person know that. It is our job, since they know that, they are aware of that. Remember, I told you it's about awareness. Every person on this earth is aware that they're wanted by God, that there's a warrant out. Every person, every Christian understands that there is a warrant out for their coming unto Christ. Everyone knows that. Even the kids know that. They know that God is the good person. They know that the devil is the bad person. They know that. They know that there is a warrant out. This is our job, pastors, ministers, prophets, evangelists, teachers, people of God. You don't have to have a title to bring people to Christ. This is our job, and the Lord has given us this job, and this ministry is going to teach us according to the will of God, because I don't know everything about spiritual conviction. I just learned of that when the Lord showed it to me yesterday. Our job is to show people, teach people about spiritual conviction. The Lord's going to do the rest. We can't get into people's hearts. We can't pick up people and literally place them in a church. They have to be convicted. And when you are convicted, even in the world, then you stand accused and you must serve. And God is saying when people become convicted, they will begin to serve God in spirit and in truth. They won't be, I'm here because my grandma brought me. I'm here because Big Mama used to go to this church. I'm here because this is just something I've been doing for 35 years. I'm here because I like this pastor. I'm here because they were so nice and friendly to me. No, it'll be I'm here to serve the Lord. There is no other purpose. Nobody forced me. Nobody came to me and pounded the word of God on me. Nobody barged into my house to come get me. I came to Jesus. I knew that there was a warrant out. I knew that the Lord wanted me to come to him. And then somebody made me aware of who I really was. And that's when I came. Because I was convicted to come to serve God. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord is just that good. He does not, when you come unto him, the Lord says, you don't have to get dressed up. You don't have to hide your heart and what you really think. You don't have to hide your evil thoughts. You don't have to hide the things you used to do, the things you're doing now. You don't have to do none of that. He said, just come. He said, there is a warrant out. There is a warrant out for each Christian. And he said, just come. Come and don't have people that have to come out and get you. He said, you should have your ears open because the word of God is going forth. The prophets and the evangelists and the bishops and the teachers have been summoned already. Everything's in place. We just need you to hear. They're not going to force you. You know there's a warrant. You know that you will be convicted, and you know that you're supposed to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Even a baby, as I said, a kid, they may need a little more guidance, right? Watch care, things of that nature, but they know good and bad. They know that God is good and they know the devil is bad. If you ask the average 3-year-old, they'll tell you, God is good, the devil is bad. Or they'll say the devil is evil. So this is not just something for adults. It's for kids, too. We have to begin to convict our kids at a young age. And that right there, when we talk about our youth, let's speak about our youth. The Lord gave me the reason why we lose some of our youth is because they're not convicted at a young age. We're not saying abuse. We're not saying just work profusely. We're not saying neglected. We're saying conviction through the word of God. They need to know that a disobedient child will live half of the days. They need to know that. They need to know that God is love. They need to know that how to pray. They need to know that. Even at 3 years old, they need to know that. We have to begin convicting people at an early age. And I'm going to tell you like this. A spiritual conviction for a person in the 30s, 40s, and so on is not hard. Because once we begin to give the word and once we teach you through the word of God, because God's going to have to teach me this too, because to be honest, I know about spiritual conviction, but the process the Lord is going to show me so that I can teach people you know. The process with spiritual conviction is that the Lord does all the work, but he opens up the ears so that people can hear, right? He said, we don't need to tell them that God wants them in. They know that. Been there, done that. They know it. So don't even waste your time telling people there's a warrant out from God. People know that. They get that. People get they're supposed to go to church. They get that they're supposed to serve God. They get that they're supposed to pray. Our job, once again, is to allow them to experience a spiritual conviction. And that's through the grace of God. That's through teaching people and making people aware. A lot of people come and they try to throw their religion on people. A lot of people say, this is too churchy. Too churchy or not, we're going to spread the word of God. We're not going to force people because they already know they want it. We're going to get a word of God where the Lord allows us to speak. He's given us many platforms. He's still giving us platforms. And so wherever the Lord takes us, then that's where we're going to speak. And we're going to allow the Lord to convict their hearts. It's not our job to convict people's hearts because we don't know what's inside their heart. Besides, we know that there is a huge organ. That's it. We don't know what they're thinking unless the Lord shows us. Okay? So, as I said before, ministers, bishops, preachers, teachers, people of God, people who teach people, you know, it's very important to go into the direction of spiritual conviction. And the Lord is going to give me this. A lot of people, and what the Lord showed is that a lot of ministers do not take people through this process because they don't know. A lot of people don't know about spiritual conviction. A lot of the questions that we have on why youth are doing this, why parents turning on their kids, why kids turning on their parents, are we in the last days, why did this happen, how could this person do this, how could this person be so cold, it's because they wasn't convicted spiritually. They was only convicted in the world. And the world cannot measure up to the spiritual conviction of God, which is a change in their behaviors. Why do people continuously get in trouble? Because they've only been convicted by the world. They have not been convicted by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Once we teach people and get people to be convicted by the Spirit of God, then we will raise up nations. We will raise up people who will stand on the Word of God no matter what. We will reduce crime, whether that's in Chicago, wherever it is, and Chicago's not the only place. This is all around the land. You hear about it. You hear about it in Waco, everywhere. People commit crime. Same people. Why? Because they've only been convicted by the world. It's time for us to begin to look in your newspapers. And I know this seems very crazy, but the Lord gave this to me. Look in your newspapers. People that you don't even know, begin to pray for a spiritual conviction for them. People that you see on the news, begin to pray for spiritual convictions. The world convictions, whether it's a year, whether it's life, whether it's death, whatever it is, that's not conducive to what God is looking for. He's looking for a change in the person just like he did Paul. Every person that Jesus touched was changed. That's ministry. When people are transformed, not when people are temporarily convicted and told that you're doing this, and then they go and they good for about 2 months, and then they back at it again. He said it's a spiritual change, and that's where we have to go. Why is there so much crime in so many states? Because they haven't been spiritually convicted. So this is what I charge you to do, if the Lord is showing me, and I'm going to do it as well. Whatever happens, look at the newspaper. You don't have to talk to anybody but God. Look at the newspaper. Select five people that have made a bad choice. Five people, it doesn't matter who they are. And I want you to pray to God. You don't have to know what the process for spiritual conviction, because the Lord is going to teach us together. I want you to ask the Lord to spiritually convict these people. Five people. Call them by name. You don't have to know them. If you know them, great. If you don't, still call them by name. Five people. If you look online and you see something going on, five people. I guarantee you things will change. And I want you, this is what I want you to do, because a lot of people, they don't believe in spiritual convictions. This is what I want you to do. I want you to select one person out of those five people, and I want you to follow their stories. It may be this happened in 2004, and they just now getting it in 2007. I want you to kind of follow the story. That means that you're going to have to be accountable for checking. Things are going to happen in your life where you might forget, but pray about it and ask God for a spiritual conviction of five people. And when you're asking God for a spiritual conviction of five people, ask God for a spiritual conviction of yourself. Because we need to be aware of what God has convicted us to do for the holy unction of God. I didn't know this until yesterday, seriously. I really didn't. Because as I said before, I've heard many sermons all my life. Give yourself to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. It's yours to accept or reject. You know, we talk about the heart, we talk about love, but we never talk about the spiritual conviction. Spiritually convicted. And God says, and the reason why I know it's not spoken about is because God said it's obscured. People wonder, why do I see the same members on Sundays every day? Every Sunday, excuse me. Why do I see the same faithful few? Because nobody's been convicted. Everybody is out there. They know there's a warrant. They know that they're supposed to come unto Christ. But we haven't convicted. We haven't taken them through the process where God can convict them. And taking them through the process does not mean pounding their head with the Bible. It means showing them a better way according to what God wants to show them. That's spiritual conviction. So I hope this helped you. That's the whole gist of the ministry. As I said before, if you listen to a ministry that I gave back in June of last year, I talked about the Love of Jesus ministry, and I talked about the pillars of it, and I talked about how we were going to go into the ministry and speak about the Word of God. But as we've matured and as I've had guests and people, the Lord has given me a revelation about this whole ministry, why I even started it. And the Lord said that we can begin to take people through a spiritual conviction. He said, but before we take people through a spiritual conviction, we have to be convicted. And we have to understand why the Lord put us on earth. Why am I online? Why am I on radio talking about the Lord? Because the Lord wants me to speak about spiritual conviction. He wants to save souls. You know. And so the Lord says, don't worry about the numbers. Because more people than you think are listening. More people than what people can see are listening. He said, but a lot of people have not been convicted. They like what they hear. They like what they see. They follow, believe it or not, without you knowing it. And it doesn't matter if you know it or not, but God says they're following. A lot of people are. Because the Word of God will never fade away, and the Word of God gets everybody's attention. But what we're missing in the churches today, what we're missing in communities is a spiritual conviction. I guarantee you if we get that piece down, even with the CWC, connecting with Christ, that's what God meant by spiritual conviction, connecting with Him. He's going to work on the inside so that we can begin to see a change on the outside. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your time. As I said before, Ms. Crystal Jordan, we are going to reschedule her because I really want to hear what she has to say. I know that things come up. I'm very flexible as far as getting my guests on because most of them have a huge and busy schedule. And so we're going to get her on. If you come back on tomorrow, God's will, we're going to speak about changing the selfish shoes to the service shoes. On Monday, we're going to start our first phase that the Lord has given us according to the revelation of God of spiritual conviction. On Tuesday, we will have Ms. Keisha Covington, who will grace the ministry. On Wednesday, we will have another guest who has worked closely with Ms. Kelly Price. We will have her on the ministry, and I will give you her name as well. She is an artist. She sings gospel music. And we have many more guests who will come on the ministry. The ministry is doing well. The Lord is blessing the ministry on many different levels, many different platforms. We ask that you continue to pray for your ministries, yourself, your family, your friends. And we ask that you just continue to govern yourselves accordingly to the Word of God and what God has spoken, which is spiritual conviction. Without further ado, I would like to start with my announcers. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Spiritual Guide on the Go is in the bookstores online. Matter of fact, I'm going to order a couple today. Spiritual Guide to Go is a guide, which is based on the premise of increasing awareness of how God expects us to walk in the Word and identify the principles involved in our faith walk. It's designed to teach believers how to find and maintain faith, evaluate our daily walk, and draw closer unto God. The goal for reading this guide is for you to be renewed, empowered, and ready to help others find faith and favor in God. Amen. Gospel artists, promoters, publicists, community leaders, positive community leaders, those who are in the churches, those who are out of the churches who have a word from God, please be sure to connect with Alfreda Love at ALFREDALOVE. That's on Facebook, or FREDALOVE. That's on Facebook as well, or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to connect with you. I would love to have you on the ministry and hear about what the Lord is doing in your life and hear about the great things that the Lord has done and will do. In addition to that, make sure that you're praying for 115 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, put them all on one line and be sure to pray for yourself. In addition to that, I want you to continue to look at the Love, Lift Jesus Up ministry page. I do have a page for that, and I do also have a Facebook page for different updates or different individuals who have come on the ministry and who have shared that ministry unto us. We continue to pray for those who are going through storms, those who are coming out, and those who go in. So that's everybody. That covers everybody. We continue to pray for each and every person. We continue to pray for the Tatter family in particular. We pray for those who are in bereavement. We pray for ourselves as well. We pray for careers. We pray for ministries. We pray for pastors, preachers, bishops, prophets, elders. We pray for everyone. In addition to that, make sure that you continue to pass on the word about the Love, Lift Jesus Up ministry. Be sure to do that. The CWC is off to a great start. We will speak to ministers and other individuals. We're still sending out letters. As I said before, this is a process. We're sending out letters. People are responding because people want to reach out and touch people within their communities, and they want to do what thus says the Lord. We want to recognize, once again, all of our graduates who will be going to different colleges and universities. We want to recognize them in a particular way. We want to recognize students who have passed on to other grades and students who have had to remain in the same grade. We still uplift you because at least you're hanging on in there. So we just thank God for all of our students, and we thank God for those who are moving on to different journeys of life in pursuing college degrees, those who are pursuing working degrees, those who are wanting to start a family. We praise you and uplift you in the name of Jesus as well. We pray for our sick and shut-in, whoever that may be. We pray for those who are hospitalized. We pray for those who are in homes, convalescent homes, those who are in children's homes. We pray for those who are going through right now, amen. We pray for the prison walls, the people behind the prison walls. We pray for families who need answers. And we're praying for a spiritual conviction all this week and all next week, amen. And we are still in the race. The Lord says that we are still ahead, amen, and he is in front of us guiding us and leading us, and we must keep the faith in God. If you're looking for a church to visit on tomorrow, please be sure to come to the Great Ebenezer Baptist Church, 919 Dutton Avenue, Waco, Texas, where the Reverend Dr. Kerry Berkeley is our pastor. It's a phenomenal church. When you come in, you should be greeted by some nice ushers, as well as seated by people of God who believe in serving a true and living God. We would like to appreciate all of the listeners, all of the people who support the Love, Lift Jesus Up ministry through listening. Those of you who have purchased the guide, God bless you. We're going to start a scholarship fund for different individuals, educational scholarship fund. We're going to start out small, and then the Lord is going to bless us with the increase. Amen. In addition to that, I just thank each and every one of you for listening to the Love, Lift Jesus Up ministry. I hope that you have a blessed and safe day. Be sure to, as I said before, be sure to get ready for our spiritual conviction and get ready to watch lives be transformed and saved and watch attitudes and personalities begin to change. Without further ado, I would like to say, if someone asks you what that big smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. And until next time, which is tomorrow, be sure to take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye, everybody.